97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, good Saturday morning, Philadelphia. A lot different tune than last Saturday. Last Saturday, I came in here. My head was still on fire because of what the Eagles did in the second round, even the third round that Friday night of the draft. Today, totally different tune. I talked it all out all week with Anthony during the midday show. So I got a lot of my draft stuff out. Draft talk will be on the table today, of course, because, you know, it's the Eagles and it's the most recent thing that actually happened. But I just feel like a new man coming in here today. It was beautiful out. Again, windows down. I drove over here and used like 5 miles of gas, and we'll talk about that at some point. It was just a good day. It's a good day. There shouldn't be as much anger and vitriol. There shouldn't be as much yelling back and forth today. Maybe there is, but we'll see. But today I want to do something different. Today I sort of want to do a preview. We keep on looking back and reminiscing about certain things that happened in the past. Obviously the draft happened, so draft talk was at a premium here. It was all draft. Before the draft, the week leading up to it, we've had the MJ documentary that's aired. Now 4 episodes, episodes 5 and 6 tomorrow. So we've had that to talk about. But for the most part, it's been a lot of reminiscing. It's been hoping for the end of what's going on right now, but reminiscing about old teams. It's looking back at the teams that have won, looking back at the teams that have broke our hearts. It's even looking back at just this past season of the Sixers and Flyers that got cut short, but what the end of result could have been. If you wanted to even know what the end result was for one team, the Sixers. But then, of course, the depressing idea of, wow, just how far could that Flyers team have gone? But today, I want to do something different. Today, I want to sort of look forward. Today, I want to preview. I want to preview something. Because all we do is reminisce. All we do is react to what could have been with the Sixers and Flyers. But right now, on May 2nd, there's more and more talk about baseball possibly coming back. And the latest reports from Bob Nightingale and Jim Salisbury, who was actually on Mike Missanelli yesterday, sort of reiterated it. There's talk and actual thought that late June, early July is when baseball returns. The date that Bob Nightingale gave in his story on USA Today was July 2nd, because that's a Thursday. And what better way to welcome back baseball for July 4th weekend? Opening day is July 2nd, but then July 4th, that Saturday, maybe the entire league is playing. You know how things normally go. Opening day, you play the first game, then you actually get a day off, and then you play the next two. Maybe you do July 2nd. Everybody has July 3rd off. July 4th, that entire league's playing. And baseball is back. And baseball is as Americana as it can get. The rebirth of sports. The rebirth of somewhat of normalcy in society. Yes, there won't be fans in attendance, but baseball is back on July 4th weekend. So there is a strong chance that that happens. Now, it's going to be different. It's going to be 3 10-team divisions, which is the latest that they talked about. There have been constant reports, constant changes. Remember, we go back to late March when Jeff Passan of ESPN reported that it was going to be an all-Arizona league. Every single team, every single player would be based in Arizona, playing not just at the Diamondbacks Stadium, but also all the spring training facilities out there, because we know the Grapefruit League is the league in Florida for spring training. The Cactus League is in Arizona, so they would have utilized those fields. There's also college fields they could have used, and some, not high school fields, but some very good fields in the area that they could use that are sort of have the dimensions of Major League Baseball. So there's a chance that that was going to be the first thing. But then I think there was a sort of a revolt from a lot of players. As you remember, Mike Trout actually went on a Mike Tirico. Mike Tirico's doing something every day for NBC Sports. And he talked about how he doesn't really like that idea because he's waiting for the birth of his first child. And he said, well, so what's the deal? Am I not allowed to leave to go see the birth of my first child? And if I do leave, I have to leave 2 weeks ahead of time so that I can quarantine myself before going to the hospital to see the birth of my child. And then after the birth of my child, I then have to take 2 weeks in quarantine again before I can return to the baseball side of things. So before you know it, Mike Trout's missing a month of the season. A month. Because they're talking about doing this specific hub where a couple of hotels in the Arizona area, Phoenix, Arizona area, were going to home all these players. So that, I think, was more of a revolt from players and other people that didn't feel comfortable with it. So then phase two happened. Bob Nightingale's first report that there was going to be a Cactus League and a Grapefruit League, just like it is during spring training. And the divisions would be the same. So the Phillies would be playing with the Yankees, the Tigers, the Pirates. And I believe there was one other team. But that would have been their division. They would have been the Cactus League, Grapefruit League West, I believe. Because they play more to the western side of Florida. So they would have been the Grapefruit League West. Something like that. That, of course, has changed. Now the latest is 3 10-team divisions. And the idea is to possibly start in those Florida and Arizona areas, but eventually go back to their home stadiums. I don't see why they can't just start right in their home stadiums to begin with. We'll see. I mean, that was just sort of an idea that was thrown out there. There's a chance that the Philadelphia Phillies could begin the season on July 2nd at Citizens Bank Park. No fans, but there is a chance that they could begin the season at Citizens Bank Park or at the respective stadium of another team that they're facing if they start on the road. I don't know if they begin right from where the schedule is left off. I don't think they can do that. They're going to have to recreate schedules because you're not going to play outside of your division. You're going to have 10 teams in your division. So 9 opponents, Phillies and 9 opponents, and they're talking about playing possibly 100 games. So each team you play, what, 10 times? So that gets you to 90. Maybe you play 12 times each team to get you over 100. That gets you to 120 games. So maybe there's more of a chance that they play 120 games because they're going to try to find whatever they can to make it even. And they're going to have to decide how many road games, what the series are going to look like. There can't be that weird two-game series in the middle of the season. It's going to all have to be traditional three-game series. But here we are on May 2nd. Happy May, everybody. It's a beautiful May day out there today. And we're talking about the very possible return of baseball. Now, basketball, Adam Silver spoke 2 days ago and said, yeah, you know, I'm still not sure. He didn't really breathe confidence when it came to the NBA season returning. For about a month and a half now, I've been saying I don't see these leagues returning. I don't see NBA or NHL returning. I know they're going to do whatever they can. I know it. They're going to do whatever they can to get back to a playoff tournament so that they can, you know, get closure on the season and so they can get some sort of revenue, so they can get viewership, all that kind of stuff. I know Gary Bettman, commissioner of the NHL, also said, hey, we're still thinking about doing this. We're willing to push the start of the next season to December, which is what the NBA would do. NBA would start Christmas Day. So they're still talking about it. They're still having constant conversation, constant discussions about trying to make the NBA and NHL playoffs happen. I still don't know if they do. But baseball, I believe, happens. Because they don't want to wipe out an entire season. Not that it's cool that the NBA and NHL lost their playoffs. No, we don't want that. But they at least had 60 games of their regular season. Baseball, I don't think, wants to wipe out their entire season. They don't want to say, you know what, let's just hang it up for 2020. We'll be back next year for the 2021 season. I don't think they want to do that. Plus, I think they want to be the first sport back because I think they want to grab as much attention as they can because, yes, it is a dying sport. You know me, I'm a big baseball guy, host of the Fanatic Baseball Show. I can't wait for that to return because when baseball returns, the show returns. And I'll be thrilled to be doing that show. But right now, we're all waiting. We're all waiting for the latest news. So I firmly believe that baseball will be the first sport back. I don't know if they'll be the only sport back, but I think they will be the first sport back. And I'm thinking it's that July 2nd date. Bob Nightingale said it could be maybe even late June, like the last week of June. Sort of get people back into playing. Not playing shape. They would still do a spring training. Like maybe they open up spring training facilities in the beginning of June, just like you saw the NBA might be doing next week. NHL is going to start doing that soon to let the players train. But maybe they do last week of June just so that when the world is watching on July 4th weekend, it doesn't look like a terrible product. But it could just be July 2nd. So here's what I want to do today. Long story short, I wanted to set it up a specific way. Because we've been reminiscing and because we've been hoping for the future for things to get back to normal, now I want to kind of have a normal show. I want to preview the 2020 season for the Philadelphia Phillies. Because we are getting close in my eyes. If it's July 2nd, if July 2nd is the day that baseball returns, that's 2 months from today. Here we are on May 2nd. So basically, teams report to spring training 2 months before the start of the season, really a month and a half before today's show, we'll say 2 months. So let's just say today's the day where teams reported to spring training. And we are 2 months away from the start of the regular season. It's weird. It's totally different. It's July 2nd. It's not last week of March. It's not first week of April. It's July 2nd. And that's just what we have to go with. So, let's preview the 2020 Phillies. Let's preview the 2020 Major League Baseball season. Now, there's a lot of things that we can talk about. I want to talk about the team. I want to talk about roster construction, and I want to get your opinions on this team moving forward. I want to get your opinions on Joe Girardi coming in as the new manager. I want to hear your optimism or your pessimism. I've been on the record a couple of times saying I still don't think they're a playoff team, but you know what? I'm not even going to say that. Who the hell am I to judge if the Phillies are a playoff team or not when the divisions are different? It's not Nationals, Braves, Mets, Marlins. It's totally different. The Yankees will be in their division if this is how things happen. The Red Sox will be in their division. The Blue Jays will be in their division. Plus the Mets. Plus some other teams. I'll go through the 10-team division later. But I'm not going to say, oh, I don't think they're a playoff team. Oh, I can't do that anymore. I don't even know what the playoff format's going to be. They're talking about division winners and then the next four teams making it. So I don't even know who makes the playoffs. So I'm not going to say they're a playoff team or not. But what I can say is where I have confidence in certain areas on the field, where I don't have confidence in certain areas of the field. So I want to talk about that. I want to preview it that way. I also want to get your thoughts on the plan in general. If you are complaining, bitching and moaning about, oh, I don't want to be in the same division as the Yankees. You know what? I'm sorry, dude. You're out of luck. Because we're at this point. Anything that you're going to get and you're going to complain, well, you're just never a happy person. Because we're currently going through a pandemic, and anything that you can get that will bring happiness to a lot of people, and you're still upset, I'm sorry. I don't want to be friends with you. But if you are upset about the idea that they could be playing into November, Bob Nightingale was on with Anthony earlier this week. He said the World Series could be Thanksgiving weekend. That's, what, the last week of November? Sometimes third week of November? The last Thursday. That's deep into November. And he also mentioned, because, you know, although people don't like to admit it, the weather has changed over the years. The weather in November is not as bad as it used to be 10 years ago. And I'm not going conspiracy theory on here. I'm going fact. At least in some areas. Now, if the Minnesota Twins, who play outside, and the Colorado Rockies, who play outside, make it to the playoffs, and are playing in mid to late November, we might have a problem because there it still snows and there they still have, you know, weather to be concerned about. Here, Phillies baseball, mid-November, you might still be wearing short sleeves at some point. Or you might just be wearing a sweatshirt and shorts. So if you want to talk about that, whether or not you like that idea or not, that they're playing late November, if they're in the World Series, fine, go ahead. I want to talk about the plan and then I want to preview the Phillies. I want to talk about the pitching rotation. I want to talk about the bullpen that I'm still terrified about. I want to talk about the starting nine. I want to talk about platooning center field. I want to talk about Andrew McCutchen coming back and how much that's going to help the team. Because when he did go down, I thought it made a huge impact. And I just thought the front office totally screwed up by not finding another outfielder that could be a valuable leadoff hitter for you. Because the rest of the season last year, you didn't have a leadoff hitter. You tried. with Kingery and Segura and Harper and Hoskins. And the only guy that really did well was Harper. But then you completely missed him in the 3-4 spot. So I want to talk about that. And the number to get in today is 610-632-0975. Because I'm getting excited. The weather's beautiful outside. Birds were chirping when I woke up. Birds were chirping when I drove in here. It felt like baseball weather. It's May 2nd. The Phillies will be playing today. The Phillies will be having a weekend series. And we'd all be watching. For most of us, at least, I hope. And I'd be reacting on the Fanatic Baseball Show on Monday, 6 to 7. Tuesday, 6 to 7. Wednesday, 6 to 7. Friday, 6 to 7. Don't miss it when it returns. I can't wait for that to come back. That part of my life is just huge. And I'm depressed right now. I'm sad that I can't go out there and play in my crappy Sunday league where I've made friends over the last couple of years. I'm sad that I can't go down to the ballpark. I remember when I was younger, I had the 17-game plan. And there are people in spots around me in my section 137, that also had the same 17-game plan. So you get to know those people because they're there every single time you're there. That stinks. And I know that there's people out there that have season tickets that feel the same way, that know the people around them. Unfortunately, no fans will be allowed in attendance this year. We're going to have to live with that. If you're complaining about that, I don't get it. To me, sports is sports. That's all I really care about, them coming back. So let's preview. Let's try to act as normal as possible. That baseball is returning. Let's hope 2 months from today. Yes, it's a weird mix up in the league. It's going to be 3 10 team divisions. I'm sure there will be a universal DH. I'm sure it's going to be more than a 25 man roster. I heard at 1.27, that's still not enough. You should probably have like a 30 man roster. They're going to have a practice squad as opposed to minor leaguers because minor leaguers aren't coming back. So maybe you have a 30 man active roster, or maybe you do a 25 man active roster, but you have a 40 man roster. So the NBA, you can dress 12 players, but you can have 15 on your bench. So there's three guys there that are in suits and ties, but they're just not going to play. So maybe for the Phillies, you have your 25-man roster that you have to fill out every day, and then you have 40 guys total on your bench in the dugout. So those other 15 guys are just wearing a practice shirt, wearing their baseball pants or whatever. I don't know if there's going to be a dress code. And those guys are there. And if somebody unfortunately gets hurt in one game, the following game, that person is now on that active 25-man roster. Because you're not going to be shipping from Lehigh to Philly. You're not going to be shipping from Clearwater to Philly. You're not going to be doing any of that. You're not going to be going from the Trenton Thunder to the New York Yankees. You're going to be with your team. So all this stuff is going to be there. And I want to talk about it all. And I want to talk about the Phillies. And I want to make it as normal of a show as possible. 610-632-0975. Now, with that being said, we're going to have some fun today, too. We're going to try to make as much light as what's going on in the world as possible. I've put together a list of questions. I tweeted them out at asalchunas975, but I'll also give them to callers all show long. I've put together a list of quarantine questions, and it's sort of a more or less answer or have not or have during the quarantine. Now, Josh Rabick is producing the show today. Josh, I'll get your thoughts on the Phillies coming up, but I want to use you as the guinea pig here for the quarantine questions that I put together.
I'm on the wheel. Go ahead.
I sort of just threw these together as I was driving in here, thinking them off the top of my head, completely ran in here, opened up a Word document, and put them together. So here's the first question that I will also give to a caller, so I'm not just going to take this one off the board. But Josh, let me start off with, if this is part one to the question, and I'm sure 99% will say more. Josh, have you drank more or less during this quarantine?
I've drank more frequently, but in total, probably less.
Okay. Now, that means part two to the question.
Right.
You're going to say no. Have you gotten drunk yet?
No, I have not.
Okay. Neither have I. So, on a daily basis, I'm throwing down 3 or 4 beers, probably. But it's been, what, a month? It's been, sports got shut down over 50 days ago. Like, it's been like 52, 53 days. So, about 2 months now, month and a half. You know, you're not going to the
bar with your buddies and you're not pre-gaming before you go to the bar and then you're not making a fool of yourself at the bar, you're at home.
Yeah, there's no social benders anymore.
No, exactly. So, like, I think yesterday I got slightly buzzed because I started drinking right around 3:30 and just, like, kept going until, like, 9. But it wasn't, like, I was slamming beers. I was just, I don't know, I was almost having, like, a beer an hour or, like, 2 beers an hour probably.
It's like a hybrid between taking the edge off and Benadryl, essentially. It'll put you to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. I went to bed last night at 10 o'clock. And it's because, you know, I get up earlier to do midday show now because I do those playbacks and it returned yesterday. So I've been getting up at like 7. Not that that's that early, but I also went to bed at like midnight on Thursday. So I was tired last night because, again, I was drinking beer all day, really. And I went for a run. I was outside. Like, it was nice out yesterday. So I was sitting in whatever sun there was left. And before you know, I'm falling asleep in the chair outside like an old man. So that's one of the questions. Have you drank more or less? A lot of people are going to say yes. But I want to hear, has anyone actually gotten drunk yet? Because I haven't. I haven't gotten drunk to the point where it's like, you know, you stand up and you're like, whoa, what's going on here? You know the feelings. 610-632-0975. So I have a bunch of those questions that I would give out to callers. I'm going to read out answers that people are giving on Twitter as well. And again, Philly's conversation today. If you want to talk NFL draft, feel free. I'm still okay with talking draft. I'm not draft out, right? Like, I'm still good to talk draft. I'm still good to bitch and moan about Jalen Hurts. I'm still good to, like, last week when I did the show, there was 0% chance that you were going to sway me on the Jalen Hurts pick. 1 week later, still 0% chance that you're going to sway me on the Jalen Hurts pick, whether or not that was a good idea or not. But a week later, I've since calmed down and I've, you know, I'll listen a little bit better. I will admit, there were probably like 3 callers last week that called in pro Jalen Hurts pick that I don't think I listened to a word they said. Like, I think once they were done talking, I was like, all right, yeah, thanks, man. No, I don't agree with you. I will listen today, and I'll talk Jalen Hurts. I'll talk about the rest of the draft, and I'll talk about the Eagles in general. Anthony Becht, who was on with Anthony on Thursday, said that the Eagles took a slight step back. That's something that I would like to dive into as well when it comes to the Eagles. I don't think that they took a step back, but I don't think they took a step forward. I think that they are sort of the same team that they were last year. They have improved in areas. They really have. But I also look at what happened around them. Dallas's offense is much better. If Jalen Reagor becomes a player, then maybe they're more even. But, I mean, I look at the two teams, and I kind of look at Dallas's offense as being better. But I do like the Eagles' defense better than the Cowboys' defense. So we will see how these things play out. I still think that the Eagles are a team that can make the playoffs. I'm not saying that they're not a playoff team. I just don't have any expectations past round one. If Carson Wentz doesn't get hurt last year, if he doesn't get a cheap shot in the back of his head by Jadeveon Clowney, I think they win, but I think they end up losing in round 2. This year, I can see the same thing. They sneak into the playoffs. They either lose round 1 or they win round 1, but then they lose round 2. I still think that they are on a rise toward another Super Bowl appearance. I don't think they're falling off. I don't think they're falling back. But right now, I think this team is very similar to what it was last year. They have made improvements. I'm not going to lie. They have. I'm not blind to that. Defensive front is better. Corners are better with Darius Slay. I question the safety position. I loved Malcolm Jenkins. Offensive line is a question mark. Who knows about Andre Dillard? Offensive line is a question mark. Brandon Brooks hurt a lot. Still question about DeSean Jackson's health. So the Eagles, have they taken a step back? Have they taken a step forward? Or like me, are they still sort of where they were last year? I think they're just still there. Playoff team, borderline playoff team. I don't think they make any big run. So Philly's on the table. Let's preview the 2020 season because it will come back, in my opinion. Eagles, have they taken a step forward? Taken a step back? Are they still the same team as last year? And the quarantine questions that I brought up, I'll read some answers coming up. Josh Rabick's producing the show as well. I'll talk Phillies and Eagles with him coming up. And Mike in Florida, you hang tight. We'll get to you in a bit. 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and I'm taking you until noon right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Andrew Salchunas. I'm taking you to noon. Jason Martinez will then be on from 12 until 3. So, Phillies baseball, Eagles football, and quarantine questions are on the table today. And Josh Rabick's producing the show today, and I want to talk to Josh about all those. Well, I already gave you the quarantine question. I sort of put you on the spot with the beer one. I'm sorry. Hope nobody got offended that was listening. Baseball. First, I want to say, again, I've said multiple times, I don't think this Phillies team was a playoff team in the traditional 162-game season NL East. I can't make that statement now. How can you make a statement when it's a 10-team division and it's probably going to be 100 games, probably more? I would imagine 120 sounds like a lot, but I just think about how, because they're going to want to make everyone play everyone evenly within the division. I don't know. We'll see. Another good thing was yesterday, MLB umpires actually agreed to a deal with Major League Baseball, so they're ready to go. I think they took a pay cut. Yeah, their pay cut was actually reduced by 30%, which stinks for them. I think part of it is because of this year. I wonder if part of it's also moving forward, because who knows what they're going to do with these electric umpires, and also there's reviews and all that kind of stuff. So we'll see. But there's a good chance that Phillies baseball is back in on July 2nd and Major League Baseball is back on July 2nd. So, Josh, I want to start with you before we go to Mike, who's waiting from Florida. And the number to get in, 610-632-0975. Do you have any complaints about baseball coming back and the ideas that they have?
No, because you got to really tread lightly with how you come back and everything. And I like that they're balancing different ideas. So I'm down for that. One, two, I also miss baseball a little bit more than the other sports because this is the time of the year. Like you said, the changing of the seasons.
Yep.
You expect opening day, being able to go out socially with your friends, watch a ball game. And I kind of accepted that basketball and hockey was done at some point.
Yep.
And I never did that with baseball.
Okay. So, but outside of just you missing the sport, it's like I still see people complaining that, oh, I don't want to be in a division with the Yankees. Like, people are, there are legitimate complaints, and I get it. Like, this is totally different, and it's not traditional. And there are people who are very big on the tradition of baseball when it comes to record breaking, and when it comes to statistics, and when it comes to rivalry, and when it comes to all that kind of stuff. There are traditionalists when it comes to baseball. For this year, I don't give a damn. And if it has to happen 2 years in a row, I still don't give a damn, because at least we have something back. Do you have any complaints about being in the same division as the AL East? Or do you have any complaints about it possibly going through November? Do you have a complaint about that?
No, like you said, how it's different with the seasons and the temperatures nowadays. Like in November, you can go for a run in shorts nowadays.
Yes.
So we know the Philly strengths is going to be with their bat compared to pitching. And that's one.
Yep.
Two, when you look at the Yankees, I mean, yeah, Yankees are a really good ball club, but what's the usual alignment? You're going to have the Braves and Nationals in your division anyways, and those are teams that are probably going to beat you out based on pitching already.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know why there's anything that you can complain about. It's going to be different. So what? Deal with it. It's going to be weird. There's no fans in the stadium. I've taken calls about people saying, oh, I don't want them playing without fans because that's such a big piece to it. Yeah, it is a big piece to it. But you know what's even a bigger piece? What's actually happening in between the lines? I'm sorry, who cares about the fans at this point? As long as we get to watch it on TV, that's great. So the Phillies division, because it would be a 10-team division, would have the New York Yankees and the New York Mets. Again, it would be close proximity so that it takes away from traveling. Well, obviously you have to travel, but there won't be as much travel. Like, you're not going out west to play the LA Dodgers. So that's why you have 10 teams in your division, 9 opponents. New York Yankees, New York Mets, Boston Red Sox, Washington Nationals, the Baltimore Orioles, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Toronto Blue Jays, the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Miami Marlins. So the Atlanta Braves are not in the same division as the Phillies. The Atlanta Braves are actually in the Central Division that has the Cubs and the White Sox, Brewers, Cardinals, Royals, Reds, Indians, Twins, and Tigers. So no Braves in the Phillies division. I'm not doing a whole, oh, well, that means they have a better chance. I'm just saying. I'm just trying to give you the news as to what would happen. But do you guys have complaints about that? I don't. So 610-632-0975. Phillies topic, not just do you like what they're thinking about, but also let's preview the season. Let's talk about the pitching staff. Do you have faith in having two good starters in Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola? Do I think they are elite? No. Zach Wheeler is a number one, number two on a lot of teams. He was a number three in New York because he had DeGrom and Syndergaard ahead of him. In Philly, you could make the case that he's even the ace, but they'll have Aaron Nola be the ace. But Aaron Nola's not elite. Aaron Nola's good. He's very good. He's not elite. Neither is Zach Wheeler. So you have two good, very good starting pitchers in your rotation. And then after that, it goes, you know, who knows? Is it Arrieta, Pivetta, Eflin? Is one of those other guys the three spot? Is Velasquez in the rotation? Is Pivetta even in the rotation? Who knows? Does Spencer Howard get the call? Somebody tweeted me earlier asking, you know, how is minor league time going to work? I don't know. I don't know. I haven't read anything about when guys can get called up. Like, is Alec Boehm on the roster to start? Obviously, they hold back players to a certain time for specific reasons, for arbitration and whatnot. If Alec Boehm starts on July 2nd when the league starts, if that is the date, what does that mean for arbitration moving forward? Who knows? And time spent in the league? Who knows? We'll figure that all out. Well, let's talk Phillies baseball. 610-632-0975. Reaction to the Eagles draft. Are they better? Are they worse? Are they status quo? And also all those questions that I sent out on Twitter, and I'll give you the questions to callers as well. The quarantine questions. I'll give some answers on Twitter as well. Let's go to Mike in Florida. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Love your positivity. Love thinking about the future of baseball.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. I think the Phillies could do pretty well. There was an article in the Inquirer, and I wish I knew the author's name, but looked at statistics of the Phillies last year versus the teams from the American League that they would be playing in this new division.
Yeah.
And everything across the board was higher batting average, pitching, and winning percentage. So there might be something to that.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, the division, I was looking at it the other day, and there's a couple locks for me that are teams that are going to be good this year. The Yankees are a lock to me that they're going to be good. The Nationals, even though they lost Rendon, I think they're a lock to be good this year. The Tampa Bay Rays, if their pitching comes back, their pitching actually took a hit last year. You know, Snell had an injury. They were banged up last year. If they could bounce back, to me, they're a lock. So that's three locks within this Eastern Division. The question marks are the Phillies, which I think they're going to be better this year than they were last year. The Mets, because they had the talent, they just can't seem to ever put things together. And the Blue Jays are a young, up-and-coming team. Are they there yet is another question. But you're right, Mike. I mean, I think the Phillies have a good shot no matter. I don't know what the playoff format's going to be. I know there's talks about a division winner and then four other teams. There's all kinds of talks. I don't know what it's going to actually be. But regardless, I think the Phillies have a good chance at competing in this division this year.
Another thing that comes into play is, you know, advanced scouting will be a lot different. So Phillies haven't always had great scouting.
Never had great scouting, in my opinion.
What's that?
My opinion, they never had great scouting.
Right. So that I think now, you know, there's going to be little time to scout, and you don't have these long metrics. So I would encourage them to bring up the new players because, first of all, they wouldn't have been any track record scouting on them, so you might get a little bump there. And I think they're just silly if they worry about major league time on Brom and Howard.
Right.
Because this could be a year where you could really capitalize and have a Marty Bystrom kind of thing like 80, and yep, somebody just really comes out. But I want to talk a little bit about the draft. I love the Hurts pick. I didn't like it at the beginning. I was like, what are they doing?
All right, so what made you change your opinion?
Well, I think when you think about teams that are successful, they think differently. They don't think the same way as everybody else. I think the Saints are doing that, and the Saints have had playoff misery, but they've been very successful. Obviously, the
how are the Saints doing it? Because of Taysom Hill?
Well, yes, Taysom Hill, the way they run the offense.
Yeah, but they also have Drew Brees and Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. So, I mean, they have some talented players around Taysom Hill.
For sure, for sure. But, you know, I think if you look at the most important position is obviously the quarterback position. Everybody yes. thinks, okay, we paid $100 million or whatever to Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes more than that, and they're getting Hurts at a real low price point. So they can use that money for other assets, so free agents. But I definitely think they need to spend more money, probably with free agents on the line, even in backup roles. The line, to me, looks really weak.
The offensive line definitely needs to be fixed, Mike. And before I let you go, I got to give you one of these quarantine questions. So I'll give you the one that I gave Josh. Have you drank more or less in the last month and a half?
Good question. I have had basically one beer a week, so I'm not a big drinker.
Oh, all right. Well, then let me give you another one. Have you showered more or less, or about the same?
I've been exercising every day, so probably more.
Oh, all right. Well, that's another one of the questions. All right, Mike. I appreciate the call, man. Yeah, I'm going all over the place here, so I'm just letting you guys know. Like, showering is on the list. I like Mike, have been trying to work out a little bit more because the first, like, half of this quarantine, I didn't. And I just drank a lot and ordered out a lot. And then I, you know, looked in the mirror and I was like, oh, God, who's that? So, you know, recently I've been trying to work out a lot more. So that then leads to showering more. So I think I've actually showered more, or maybe about the same. I don't know. But I'm sure that there are some people out there that are working from home and are not working out. And they're like, why should I shower? Like, I'm sure there's a guy. Josh, you know that there is a guy out there that goes, oh, damn, it's been 3 days, bro. I got to take a shower. You know there's somebody out there. So those, I got all kinds of questions, the quarantine questions. If you want to answer them on the phone, 610-632-0975. Talking Phillies baseball, what we think about the team, the 2020 Phillies in this weird year that it will be. But we'll talk about that. And I'll talk a little bit about his Hurts thing, his theory about some of the better teams make some of the out-of-the-box decisions. You could be right, but there's also people that think they're smarter than everyone else, and that's what hurts them. I'm Andrew Salchunas, taking you until noon right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
6975 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, taking you until noon. Get back to the phones in a second, but I do want to sort of touch on Mike, our previous caller, what he said about Jalen Hurts. He said he liked the pick. He didn't like it at first, but he liked the pick because sometimes the best teams make the out-of-the-box decisions. And he mentioned Bill Belichick, and he also mentioned the Saints because of Taysom Hill. Well, let me start with Bill Belichick. The dude's a genius. Period. The dude has won multiple Super Bowls because of his coaching, because of his scheme, because of his quarterback. He's got the greatest of all time, even though Josh doesn't think so. Had the greatest of all time. He has done a lot of good things. So that's Bill Belichick. I don't like comparing to the GOATs at certain things. Like, when people go, well, Tom Brady's never really had a good receiver. How come Carson can't? Tom Brady's the greatest of all time, or top three. Carson Wentz isn't there yet. So when people go, oh, well, Bill Belichick does this, it's like, okay, well, Howie Roseman's not Bill Belichick when it comes to making decisions about his roster. He's not. Maybe one day, but he's not. You can't compare from one to the other. Like, you can't, when people compare, like, Ben to LeBron, It's like, yes, I get why you would make that comparison, because they're close and because people said he's LeBron 2.0, but Ben Simmons in year three is nowhere near LeBron James at his peak. He's not. Could he be? Hopefully. I don't know. But you can't go, he's the greatest of all time in his era. I don't know about the Jordan LeBron debate. Didn't see Jordan. I'll stand by that. But the LeBron era, he's the greatest of all time. And you can't compare Ben Simmons to LeBron. You could try, but it just doesn't make sense. You can't go, well, LeBron does this, how come Ben? Well, because LeBron's LeBron. Because Belichick's Belichick. Because Brady's Brady.
And don't you think a lot of people look at us when we reacted so harshly and they said, oh, that's an emotional decision, when in all reality, I think loving the Jalen Hurts pick was an emotional decision, because people take themselves back to that Seattle game. They remember how helpless they were, and they're like, okay, we're going to address that for the next 4 years. It's the backup quarterback position.
Yes.
You're paying your starter, your franchise quarterback, $30 million a year. You live on the backup quarterback position year to year when you have holes like in your secondary, at cornerback, all those places.
Yeah, and you know what? Another reason why they were so helpless once Wentz went down is because they had a 40-year-old playing backup. They had a 40-year-old who was retired and was working for ESPN. And then they eventually bring him back, and then he eventually gets hurt in that game. Mr. Quarterback Factory, what about Sudfeld? You've had him for 4 years. 3 seasons. What has he developed into? A guy that doesn't dress at points? So, the Hurts thing, okay, listen, I like the kid. I think he's needs to be developed a lot. Hopefully he turns into something for his sake. I don't know if it's here in Philadelphia. We'll see. The people that say, oh, well, they can flip him for something 3 years from now. I care about now. I don't care about 3 years from now. I care about now. And I care about the guys, the names that were on the board behind that pick of Jalen Hurts. And I care about the notion that maybe Howie held on to that second round pick because he didn't want to trade up to get somebody. I hold on to the reports that Hurts could have dropped in the fourth round. There are reports that he was going to get drafted in the second round regardless, but there are reports that he could have fell to the fourth round. And I go, all right, you had 3 fourth-round picks. You felt the need to draft him at 53 overall? So, there's no reason for me to say that that was a good pick whatsoever. If Carson Wentz goes down week one, I don't see Jalen Hurts coming in and winning the season for you. He still needs to be developed.
And remember, he was playing against Big 12 defenses. People looked at it and they think that a prospect automatically translates their production to the NFL. Big 12 defenses, it's not even in the same ballpark as SEC defenses.
Right, exactly. And let's face it, he ends up getting benched for Tua. And, you know, like, you can make all these conversations. If you love to pick, good for you. I can't agree with you at all. I can't see eye to eye with you at all when it comes to that. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones. Talk to Pete in Princeton. Pete, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up? How are you?
Hey, Pete.
The reason why I'll disagree with you a little bit on division alignment is because I believe that you draft and build your team to win your division. You know, for example, the Eagles are going to have to deal with Chase Young twice a year for the next 10 years.
Yes.
They better address that. You need to win your division to make the playoffs. If you just jumbled the NFL and put the Eagles in any other division, they don't make the playoffs. And if you regionalize it, like baseball's doing, and now the Eagles are in the same division with the Jets, the Bills, the Patriots, because they're kind of close, along with the Giants and the Redskins, then Dallas, what Dallas did doesn't matter because they're not in our division.
Right.
The reason why we're upset with what Dallas did is because we play them twice a year.
Yes.
So with baseball, when you realign the divisions, it's just as it's up for grabs. The reason why some teams like the Phillies might help by that, the fact that the Braves aren't in their division. But other teams, you build your team to win the division. If a division has,
you think it's the same as baseball? I don't think it's the same as I don't think it works the same way with baseball and football.
If you had 3 left-handed power hitters.
Yeah.
You're gonna get left-handed starters to combat that. If you're in Major League Baseball, you're gonna go in free agency. You're gonna get to even out the playing field. In the NFL, it's the same thing. If you throw the Eagles right now in the NFC North with Minnesota, Chicago, and Green Bay, they don't make it out of that division.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So
I hear what you're saying.
So you have to, the Eagles have to, like, when you set your draft, It's like, not only do you know what you need, you have to see what the other teams in the division do. If you're a running division, like the Raiders. The Raiders drafted basically because the Kansas City Chiefs are in their division. They have to fight.
Yeah, with the speed. Yeah, they got a lot of speed on the outside with Henry Ruggs. They draft another receiver later on. But all right, so what I'm trying, you're going all over the place with Eagles and Philly. So I'm trying to see, like, what is your point? Like, are you saying Jalen Hurts was drafted for a specific reason, or are you even talking Hurts?
My point is, while I agree with you that plugging, like, you don't know, like, when the Phillies are in this division, how do you know they're on a playoff team? Because now you don't know who they're going to be jumbled with in the 10-team divisions. But what I'm saying is, just because you don't know that, it also can work negatively because, you know, the Phillies are drafting to beat the Nats and the Braves, and all of a sudden they might not have to deal with the Braves anymore, and they might have to deal with a team that they're not prepared for. So I think that's a big deal. I'm hoping.
I don't know if it is, Pete. Like, I really don't. Like, I get what you're saying about, all right, you're facing three lefties. You want to have a left-handed starter. I get what you're saying, but, like, I don't know. In the end, you're trying to find the best pitchers. You're trying to find the best hitters.
In the NFL, in baseball too, it's like, for example, we talk about matchups. Sometimes, you know, the Phillies are facing a team where they just don't match up. The way the bullpen is sculpted, the way their lineup is sculpted. Teams just don't match up.
Yeah, but the Phillies bullpen stinks in general. So, like, the Phillies bullpen's awful. It's going to be awful against the Yankees. It's going to be awful against the Braves.
Right, but if you don't have to deal with one of those teams, it's potluck. So that's where I will agree with you. It's saying, like, it's how can you say the Phillies aren't a playoff team? Right now, you can't until you find out what division they're in and how it's going to work.
Well, I mean, here's the report. It's Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, Nationals, Orioles, Pirates, Blue Jays, Rays, Marlins. Those are the teams within the Phillies division.
I find they fall right in the middle.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yep. Yeah, right in the middle. I have the Yankees as a lock, the Nationals as a lock, the Rays as a lock if their starting pitching is healthy. And then the toss-ups are Phillies, Mets, because they do have talent, they just don't know how to really play,
right.
And then the Blue Jays. Like, those are the three toss-ups, and then the Marlins stink, Orioles stink, Pirates stink, and I don't think the Red Sox are all that good. I could be wrong. People have them winning the division. I don't see how.
I think they'll be a little bit better than we think they are because they can hit, but I think the Phillies fall right in the middle of that. But here's the problem. If they don't, because they're just a bad matchup with a certain team, like, you know, even like in the NHL, you have that one team that you just don't match up with well. What I hope happens is, if it's a one-year thing, it's a one-year thing. But I would like to try to keep the 10 teams with the 10 teams that we play most, like keeping Atlanta with us, keeping the Nets.
Yeah,
but, you know,
I hear you. I think they're doing it based off of regions and all that kind of stuff. Now, Pete, let me ask you, I'm going to give you one of the quarantine questions. Have you ordered out more or less during the month and a half that we've had?
You know what? I got to be honest. We're not an order out person. We're a pickup takeout person. And I would probably say it's been about the same.
All right, man. I appreciate the call. Is there really a difference between ordering out and picking up? Okay, whatever.
No.
Thank you, Josh. Have you gotten food from an establishment, more or less, whether it's delivery or going to and picking up?
Did you make your own food or did someone else make your food?
Exactly. All right. Thanks, Josh. Because I live in Manayunk, I have walked to all the places to pick up food. There's only been one time where I have driven to get the place because it's on the other end, and it was actually we got a lot of stuff, so we could have it for a couple days. Have you ordered out more or less? I think I'm less, actually. Have you? Are you more or less?
I'm actually less because I have to make the grocery store trip count, so now I find myself making more food at
exactly.
home.
Exactly. I'm doing the whole bulk shopping, and I got a grill for what was one of the wedding gifts, and didn't want to put it at the old place, but now we moved in, we built the grill. So I'm grilling like two or three times a week now.
And the weather's starting to get nice too, so it's the perfect time to break it out.
Yeah, so I think we've been ordering out. I mean, we used to eat out like once or twice a week. Now it's down to one, if anything. 610-632-0975. We have 25 minutes of commercial-free radio, so that's the number to get in. Again, 610-632-0975. I have the quarantine questions that I will be giving out to callers all show. Also, Phillies baseball, where do they stand? Let's preview the 2020 season. It's a Phillies preview show. Think of it as a 3-hour Fanatic baseball show with yours truly. Eagles talk as well. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Thank you until noon right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This weekend's programming, it's brought to you by Farron Electric. Got an urgent electrical issue in your home? Farron Electric is open and available to help and taking every safety precaution in the process. Visit farronelectric.com to schedule an appointment today. So we are beginning 25 minutes of commercial-free radio right now. The number to get in, 610-632-0975. Here are the topics that are on the table. We'll start with the Phillies because if the report is true by Bob Nightingale that baseball returns late June or early July, we're almost there. And the date that he gave was July 2nd. I don't know if it's a date that he's hearing. I don't know if it's a date that he thinks makes sense. The reason why July 2nd makes sense is that it's a Thursday. So that means July 2nd is a Thursday. That means July 4th is a Saturday. And that means that if baseball returns, the third game of everybody's series, because I don't know if they do days off. I don't think they can. I don't know if they have time. Remember, a normal opening day, teams play their first game and they usually have the second day off. And then they finish the series the next 2 days. If baseball returns July 2nd, the final game of each three-game series would fall on that Saturday, July 4th, and baseball is back. And everybody's going nuts because we got sports. Who knows what's open yet, right? Who knows if beaches up here are open yet? I know there's nitwits going down to Florida going to beaches, but who knows if the beaches are open here yet? Who knows if bars are open yet? Who knows if beer gardens are open yet? I'm trying to think of what people do July 4th. But baseball could be back July 4th weekend. And if July 2nd is the actual date, that means we are 2 months away from today because today's May 2nd. So if that is the case, we are just 2 months away from Phillies baseball returning, from Major League Baseball returning in general. So what I want to do is kind of use today as a preview of the 2020 season. Because like spring training, you have about a month and a half until the season really starts. But we'll use today as the preview show for the 2020 Philly season. The early preview show. Let's just pretend that the teams have made it to camp. They've made it to spring training. They're getting ready for the 2020 season because we're 2 months away. So let's just talk Phillies baseball. We're going to talk about the divisions that they're in. Again, here's what it looks like because each division, it's three 10-team divisions. The Phillies will be in the same division as the New York Yankees and Mets, the Boston Red Sox, the Washington Nationals, the Baltimore Orioles, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Toronto Blue Jays, the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Miami Marlins. To me, the Phillies are fighting for the fourth spot in that division behind the Yankees, Nationals, and Rays. And the Rays are still a question mark to me because they battled with injuries in the rotation, and that's their big thing, is starting pitching. They use the opener sometimes. That's their big thing, is pitching in Tampa. And who knows if they bounce back after being banged up last year. But I'll still go Rays third. So Phillies are fighting for that fourth spot with the Mets and the Blue Jays, in my opinion, and who knows about the Red Sox. I don't think the Red Sox are going to be that good this year, but I could be wrong. But I really look at the Mets and the Blue Jays as the two other teams that are fighting for that fourth spot. So let's look at the Phillies roster, and let's talk about it. Let's talk about the rotation with Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola. A lot of people on Twitter say the same thing. Because the way the league is going to be shortened, who gives a damn about time in Major League Baseball and arbitration and all that stuff, put Spencer Howard in the rotation. And we actually had Mike, the first caller of the show today, actually said, because he's so young, there's not much of a scouting report on him. Maybe you have an advantage with Spencer Howard on the mound. And you know what? I don't think he's wrong. So if you have Howard in your rotation, now all of a sudden your one through three is Nola, Wheeler, Howard, and that's a lot better than Nola Wheeler Arrieta or Nola Wheeler Pivetta, Nola Wheeler Velasquez, Nola Wheeler Eflin. It's much better. Now, if you have Nola Wheeler and Howard, now the conversation is, all right, who's 4 and 5 in the rotation? Arrieta's automatically in the rotation because you're still paying him for one more year. So Arrieta is automatically either 4 or 5. And I'm going to guess, because my opinion, Eflin would be the best of the other three. Eflin gets the job over Pivetta and Velasquez. Pivetta and Velasquez are in the bullpen. Pivetta's used as the long reliever. And to me, Velasquez is a one-inning guy. And I think the organization, Joe Girardi, Matt Klentak, everybody else in this Phillies front office, should make a point to make that a set position for Velasquez this year. The one-inning guy. Not the, hey, we're going to put you in the bullpen, but 3 weeks from now, you're going to be starting again. I don't want a spot start from Vince Velasquez. I'm done with that. So let's talk about the rotation. Talk about the lineup. Somebody actually tweeted me a lineup earlier today. I got to find it. Because he has McCutchen in it. Is McCutchen back? Here you go. This is from Nick Mayo on Twitter. Here's his starting nine, Josh. And he has the DH because it looks like it's going to be a universal DH. He goes McCutchen, Gregorius at 2, Harper, Hoskins, Realmuto 5th, Gene Segura 6th, Scott Kingery 7th, Jay Bruce playing the DH spot batting 8th, and Hazley in center field batting 9th. Now, this has to be against a right-handed pitcher because, you know, they're not going to play Bruce against lefties. So, if that's the case, here's the thing. I don't know who the other DH would be. If Jay Bruce, if it's a left-handed pitcher and Bruce isn't playing, is Alec Bohm the DH? Because they're saying that he is ready to hit against major league pitching. The thing that he is still struggling with is fielding. That's why there's talks about him maybe one day being the future first baseman for the Phillies. So that means Hoskins is gone. But that's a couple years away, probably. I would have traded Hoskins last year, but that's just me. You know, I don't hate the lineup. McCutchen's probably in the leadoff spot if he's healthy, yes. I almost go Segura second, Harper third. I would go actually Gregorius Gregorius fourth? He batted fourth for Girardi in New York at times. So I wonder if Gregorius goes fourth. Here's the thing. If he goes fourth, I like Realmuto a lot more than Hoskins. He's fifth. All of a sudden, Hoskins is batting sixth for you. All of a sudden, Rhys Hoskins is your sixth hitter. Now, Segura doesn't bat second. I also like JT batting second. I think JT Realmuto, people think he's this power hitter. He's got pop, but he's more of a gap-to-gap guy. So McCutchen, Realmuto actually makes sense. And Realmuto is, I believe, the fastest, if not the fastest, the second fastest catcher, starting catcher in Major League Baseball. So people have this mindset that, oh, he's probably slow. He's a catcher. No, he's very fast. So maybe you go McCutchen, Realmuto to Harper, Hoskins, Gregorius, Segura, Kingery, Bruce Hazley. Jay Bruce probably bats higher. I mean, if he's in the lineup, he's not batting eighth. He's probably batting sixth or seventh. You know, this is the fun stuff. We get to finally actually preview this stuff because I actually feel confident that baseball is back. I'm not 100% confident about basketball and the NHL being back, but I am confident that baseball will be back. So let's talk, Phils, 610-632-0975. Eagles on the table. Are they taking a step back? Are they taking a step forward? Are they status quo? I think they are not changing at all. I think they're a team that can sneak into the playoffs, but I don't have any expectations for the playoffs after that. And then finally, the quarantine questions that I have out, and I'm getting a lot of good answers. So I'm going to actually read one on Twitter, and then I'm going to give you some more, Josh. This is from Jeffrey Johnson. The question one that I gave him. Have you drank more or less? He says the same. Have you gotten drunk yet? No. Like you and I, Josh, he has not gotten drunk yet. Again, I've been drinking like 3 or 4 beers a day, but I haven't gotten drunk yet. Shower more or less, says the same. Worked out more or less, he says the same. Ordered out more or less, he says less. Haircut yet? He says yes. Now, I've not gotten a haircut yet. Josh, you're the only person here, so you can see it. I'm starting to get that, like the way my hair goes, it like grows kind of like sideways. So I got like the punk rock look right now.
Yeah, a little lacrosse bro flop.
Yeah, and I hate it because it like is tickling my forehead. So there, I'll show you the picture. I'm not thrilled about it, but there was one day where I was just so annoyed with it. I actually went for a run, and it started raining when I was running. So my hair was just soaked. So then I took a shower afterward. I said, you know what? I gotta do something with this. So I actually got gel and slicked it back. Like, I looked like, you know, mobster-esque with the hair slicked back. And it's gotten to that point. Like, that's how long it's getting. Do I shave it? I don't have any ability to cutting my hair. I don't trust my wife. She'll screw up. Do I shave my head?
Maybe you let your wife give it a shot cutting your hair, and if she messes up, then you just shave it.
But I don't even think we don't even have like clippers. I don't think we have normal hair clippers. Oh, am I gonna have her use the kitchen scissors that we use with like chicken?
All right, you probably need to buzz it then.
Yeah, I'll probably just buzz it. Like, I don't know, it's just getting so long. So people that say they got a haircut, a lot of people are answering saying, yes, I got a haircut, but I did it myself. I don't trust myself doing that. Again, I don't even think I have trimmers. I may have something around the house. Have you done a haircut yet?
Yeah, my mom actually owns her own salon. They've been closed down, but, you know, okay. Free haircut.
Yeah, free. That's nice. See, I don't have that. I've talked to people that say, yeah, I got a guy that drives around. I'm like, is he even allowed to, you know, whatever. I don't even know if that's allowed to happen. But no, my hair is getting ridiculous right now. And I'm starting to lose my mind. Have you shaved yet?
Once.
Okay. I have once too, but I was drunk when I did it. I was just bored. Again, I'm bored. There's a lot of times where you're finding a lot of time when you're bored. And so I shaved. You shaved because you're bored or because you actually needed to shave?
Because it was one of those days where I said, you know what? Let's look professional. And I decided to shave. I decided to put on real pants, and that lasted for about 5 minutes.
Yeah. All right, that's a question I got to add to a caller. Have you worn jeans yet?
I wore jeans for about 5 minutes. I said, yeah, this ain't working.
I came into work one day, and you know what? It was the only day I wore jeans in the last month and a half. I'm either wearing shorts or I'm wearing sweatpants. Joe, who oversees all the stations, I've seen him twice, I think, during this entire time. Because they're all doing the Zoom conference calls, all of them, right? Our boss is doing the Zoom conference calls. They're doing it with sales. They're doing it with corporate. They're doing it within themselves. I've seen him like twice. And one of those two times I saw him, I was actually wearing a polo and jeans. And when I put those things on, I said, why am I doing this? And I saw him that day.
That's why you were doing it.
I said, you know what? Good day. Good time to see him. When I actually look respectful at work.
Right. Meanwhile, there's me with my sweatpants and mustard stain just waving high like an idiot.
Ah, it's a nice mustard stain. 610-632-0975. Now, the Eagles question, I haven't asked you this yet. Have the Eagles taken a step back, a step forward, or do you think they're still the same team as they are last year?
It's difficult to answer because of all the injuries. Now, if they can stay a little bit healthier, maybe they do take a little bit of a step forward. The thing that still bothers me, it's that second round pick. Like I said, it's too valuable of a pick that you can use towards a starter. And if you have somebody that can maybe do that number two cornerback role, we don't know if LeBlanc's going to be that guy.
Right.
But I'd like to at least draft somebody to push LeBlanc or someone else for that role.
Last week, Christian Fulton was my guy out of LSU. I mean, he got picked right. 61st overall. He was there. And that was a position of need, a more important position of need, a more dire position of need for the Eagles.
Even if I know people had Lloyd Cushenberry who ended up going in the third round. Even if you take him in the second round there, you have an interior lineman. Maybe he starts over Sam Alu. Maybe he's your center of the future.
Yep.
He's something there in the interior.
Yeah, I mean, I still am just shocked by that pick. But in the end, let's see. Let's go over the roster real quick. We've been going over the Phillies roster. We're going over the Eagles roster. I'm going to do this to you. Quarterback, obviously they're the same. It's Carson Wentz. Did they get better at the quarterback position? The depth chart, did they get better drafting Jalen Hurts?
I guess technically from a depth point, by a hair, yes.
I still say no.
Right.
Because if Carson Wentz goes down week one, do I believe Jalen Hurts is going to step in and win? No, I believe a veteran quarterback that... You know, they don't know the offense, right? Like, they're J- Josh McCown didn't know Doug Peterson's offense. Josh McCown knew a few plays. And that's why once Carson Wentz went down, Josh McCown ran like the same six plays that entire playoff game.
Right. The only reason I say a hair, and I agree with you, you don't know what you're getting out of him. Honestly, as a pocket passer, Sudfeld's going to be better by week one. He's going to be better. I'm just saying, as far as pure athleticism, make something happen for a little bit, change up the look that the defense kind of has. That's the only reason I'd guess maybe a hair, but I can't bank on it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's spiteful for me to say no, but I don't see him making an impact if Carson Wentz goes down right away. The other positions, you know, offensive line, I don't know. I like Andre Dillard at left tackle. I do. But I hear all these reports about how he's a problem. And I don't know where that's coming from.
That's what I want to know where that's coming from, because we saw him at left tackle look good. It was at right tackle that he didn't look good.
He looked, and he told you ahead of time, I'm not going to be good. They asked him 3 days before, what's it like moving from left tackle to right tackle? He said, imagine writing with your right hand your whole life and then switching to left hand. Like, he gave you a heads up that this is not going to work out. Offensive line, so do you take a step back from Peters to Andre Dillard? I don't know. I was ready to move on from Jason Peters. That is still a question mark to me. Is Andre Dillard going to be good enough to fill a pretty big hole that Jason Peters leaves?
And it factors in whether he's going to be more reliable, because also I doubt somebody at Andre Dillard's age is going to be as less durable as someone like Peters, who had probably the record for one quarter injuries.
Right, exactly. So let's hope. Right side is still very good with Lane Johnson, but Brandon Brooks, as talented as he is, he's not the most reliable. He's been banged up a lot. Jason Kelce, he is reliable health-wise at the center position, but he's been talking about retiring multiple years now. I still think he's going to be very good this year. Left guard, we'll see. I mean, who knows what they do at left guard? Is it Seumalo? Is it somebody else? Who knows what they do at left guard? So offensive line, I can't really give an opinion if they're better or worse. They lose a lot in Jason Peters, but I was also so ready to move on from Jason Peters that I guess my heart tells me they're getting better, because I want to move on from Peters and I want it to be Andre Dillard's job, but I also don't know. And then the Brandon Brooks thing, as soon as he goes down, what happens? So offensive line, I guess you could say they're status quo. My heart tells me they're a little bit better. I don't know what my mind tells me. Wide receiver, they're better. Are they much better? I don't know. We'll see what Jalen Reagor does. We'll see if DeSean Jackson plays more than a game. I mean, Alshon Jeffery, the Lisfranc injury, people say, oh, well, when he comes back, when is he coming back? Does he come back? Do the Eagles want him back? Right now you have Reagor, Jackson. This is week one lock, Josh. It's Reagor, it's DeSean Jackson, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Greg Ward, your tight ends. Well, let's stick with the receivers. Forget tight ends right now. It's Reagor, Jackson, Arcega-Whiteside, and Greg Ward. Those are your week one locks with guys that are going to be competing. You know, Hightower, Watkins, they're going to compete. But right now, because they are drafted later in the rounds, they're fifth best right now. They're at best fifth in the wide receiver rotation.
And think about this. We do believe the wide receiver core is going to take a step forward. How far it is, we don't know. But right. Greg Ward is the wide receiver you can rely on the most as far as showing me something and durability right
Which
now.
Which is scary, because he's a former quarterback. So did wide receiver get better? Yeah, I think they got better. But when you compare them to what Dallas has, it's not a competition. When you compare them to what Washington has, I like Terry McLaurin a lot. Washington, he's got a year under his belt. Now, I take Carson over Haskins in a heartbeat. I take Carson over Dak. But the wide receivers is a question mark. Tight ends, your locks are Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert, and you feel great about that. So, and running back. You know, Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, they bring back Corey Clement. I've talked about not being sure about doing that, Clement, because what happens when he gets hurt again in week two? And I like his ability. When he's healthy, he's pretty damn good. And you bring him back on a cheap deal. It's not like you gave him $9 million on a one-year deal like Ronald Darby. You bring him back, one-year deal, see what happens. But it's like the Darren Sproles thing. And I know Darren Sproles is older than Corey Clement, but Corey Clement's track record isn't all that good right now with the injuries. Two straight years he has missed a lot of time, both season-ending injuries. You know, what if he the same thing happens? What if it's the same story? We'll see. But running backs, I guess, did they get better? I don't know. I don't think they got better. I mean, the only thing that's better is Miles Sanders now has a full year under his belt. But I actually liked the idea of Howard and Sanders last year. I wasn't going to pay him a lot of money coming back, but I liked the idea of Howard and Sanders last year as that 1-2 punch. Sanders would be the one this year. But did they get better at running back? I don't think so. Did they take a step back? I kind of do actually think they took a slight step back because of, I don't know, they need more depth. And I like Sanders a lot, and I like Boston Scott a lot. I just, if Clement stays healthy and does something for you, they got better. If not, I don't know, you still have just those two guys. They're kind of status quo, I guess. So we'll see. I mean, the offense on paper has gotten better, but we'll see if it plays out. We'll see how it happens. Defensively, I like their front. I really do. I like the Hargrave signing. The cornerbacks are automatically better because of Darius Slay, but you still have a huge question mark at that CB2. Because who is it? Is it LeBlanc? Is it Maddox? I don't know. Douglas is putting out all these tweets about not being happy. I don't know if he's back. That's going to be another question mark. Safety. I was a huge Malcolm Jenkins guy, and I'm worried that they take a hit now that Malcolm Jenkins is gone. I don't think Jalen Mills is a positionless player. I know he played some safety at LSU. That was 4 years ago. So we'll see what happens with Jalen Mills as a safety. Plus, they have talked about Jalen Mills playing sort of like that Malcolm Jenkins role where he can be up in the box. Jalen Mills might be a competitor. He's not a tackler. Saquon Barkley's going to run right over him. If anything, he slows him down, lets somebody else finish the job. You know, I like Ward. Or not Ward. It was the guy from Denver that they brought in. The safety. Will Parks. I like Will Parks. But, you know, more so because of durability. He played all 16 games for 4 years in Denver.
And you get more depth with Wallace.
Yeah, you do. I like Kayvon Wallace. I like that draft pick, but we'll see. I mean, he's got to develop into something. McLeod, I don't know. He lost a step last year. He lost like two steps last year. And you brought him back on a two-year deal. Did they get better in the secondary?
The funny thing is, I do think Kayvon Wallace is more NFL-ready than the first three picks.
Wow. I don't disagree with you. Davion Taylor is a project. Jalen Hurts, definitely a project. Jalen Reagor, it depends. Because all I hear, you know, the drops, but I also hear, and I take into account the terrible quarterback play at TCU. Let's see him do something with Carson Wentz. But you're right. I mean, you could actually make a case that Kayvon Wallace is the most NFL ready. Played in the tough conference, was very successful in the tough conference. After he got drafted, he posted a photo of him in his graduation gear with 7 rings on his hands from Clemson. That's incredible. 610-632-0975. So did the Eagles get better? We can go through the position groups. Mike and Josh, you guys are on hold. I'll get to you in a second. 610-632-0975. Phillies talk as well. I want to preview the 2020 season because if July 2nd is the date, we're 2 months away. And I got the quarantine questions as well that I'll give to the callers, and I'll read some more tweets coming up. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and I'm taking you until noon right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic.
12 o'clock. He'll be on from 12 until 3. We'll get to the phones in a second. 610-632-0975. Another question that I have for my list of quarantine questions. And Josh, you have a bit of a hike coming here, right? How long's your drive without traffic now?
About 20 minutes. King of Prussia.
How many times have you filled up your gas tank?
I'd probably say 5 or 6 times.
Okay. I have not filled up my gas tank once. Now, I'm in manual, so it's literally a 4 mile drive.
Yeah, you could pretty much run out of gas and drift home.
Yes. No, I can't drift home because I'm uphill. I can drift here because it's all downhill to the station, but I can't drift home because it's all uphill. But I filled up my gas tank once, and it's kind of annoying because I drive by and I look at the prices have plummeted. And like as soon as I'm going to need to fill up my tank, I guarantee you that's when the prices skyrocket again. That's a good thing because that means the world's back to normal. But I've not filled it up once yet. And it's been a month and a half. I drive a Civic, so it's not a car that eats up gas. And again, I have a 4-mile drive here. And I'm not going anywhere else. And I don't have to drive to pick up food because I'm in, you know, everything's walking distance for me.
Yeah, I also have a Jeep Wrangler. That thing eats up half a tank of gas just turning it on.
Yeah, exactly. So you have that's a little bit of a different conversation for you. So I filled it up once. I just wonder how many, like, people that are working from home. I know people, like my parents. My dad works from home to begin with, but now he's obviously working from home. My mom, she works in a medical field, not like in a hospital kind of stuff. It's like post-op. And she usually works like 4 days a week, but they're cutting back on stuff because people aren't getting operations right now. I mean, unless it's like totally necessary, like life or death, people aren't getting the same operations. So I think she's only working like 2, sometimes 3 days a week now. My parents are so bored that they are going for drives just to get out of the house. Like, I wonder how many people are doing that too. Like, how many people are just, I need to get my car and go down the highway.
Well, yeah. I mean, factor in when it's somebody's birthday and you have the line of cars that go past honking and everything. That's kind of the new birthday party.
Yeah, a lot. My buddy's birthday's today. We're actually going to do a shot together on FaceTime. Like, I'm not going to drive to see him.
See, there you go. That's less annoying because I live in a building with 1,000 other people. So when it's somebody's birthday and you have a line of cars going past honking, it's like, how do you know people aren't sleeping right now?
Oh, people. I don't have friends. So, like, nobody's going to be driving by to honk at my house anyway. So, you know, that makes me feel dark inside that people actually have friends that will do that. Man, it must be nice. Let's go back to the phones. Mike in King of Prussia. Mike has friends. What's up, Mike?
Hey, I definitely don't have friends that are coming to visit me.
Yeah, you and me are on the same page. I'll visit you one day. I'll honk outside your house, all right?
Oh, that'd be really nice, Andrew.
Sounds good.
So, here's my thing. I don't think the Eagles got any better. So, here's my thinking, and I'll just run this by you. Anything after the fourth round that you draft, I think, is, you know, a crapshoot at best. If any of those players hit, great.
Well, it depends position-wise, too. Yeah, I mean, people aren't drafting center in the first round except the Saints.
To do it.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, so I write those players off. They have to show me something, especially for the receivers, because these new receivers aren't going to get a chance to really work with Carson as much as they would in a regular non-COVID offseason.
Oh, yeah,
right?
OTAs are gone. That's not going
to
happen.
So you're not going to get a chance to work on timing, so that's shot. So let's talk about picks 1 through 4, right? So the safety pick, I don't know enough about him. People rave about him. Maybe he'll be something, I don't know. So hopefully that pick turns out.
Avon Wallace,
third-round pick is a project at best.
Total project.
An undersized fast linebacker who's barely played football ever. You know what I mean? So there's another pick that it's a project. And you shouldn't be, you have so many holes that you don't have the right to be taking project players.
Yeah, I said this, Mike. If you took a surefire lock in round one and a surefire lock in round two, then maybe you go project pick in round three.
Well, but you didn't do
exactly,
that.
Exactly.
I mean, with Rager, let's just talk about Rager. I'm not a big fan of this pick because I'm really down on a player. Like, after you get done with football, all you're supposed to be doing is training for the combine. And what did this guy do? He showed up out of shape, 10 pounds overweight, to his job interview. To his job interview, he didn't come in prepared. So what does that make me think? A guy who's got a case that drops and doesn't prepare for his job interview? I'm not, that really doesn't fly with me at all. That tells me a lot about who he is as an individual.
Did he put on weight just because he put on weight? I thought maybe it was he put on weight because he wanted to bench some more.
From the way Marcus Hayes wrote it, it's just that kind of fat. So I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I don't think he got fat. I think he bulked up for the weightlifting.
Yeah, but if I know the combine, I'm pretty sure receivers don't make their money on their best, you know, weightlifting. They do it just by their 40 times. Okay. So, Ben, you shouldn't have picked that trainer because he's an idiot and told you the wrong way to get ready.
Okay.
So, and then the second round pick, you had no business. Howie Roseman had no right to do what he did because we are now entering Carson Wentz's prime. This is his prime, and you should be surrounding him with as much talent as possible.
Oh, I agree with you.
And that's why the Cowboys, you know, we might not like Dak, we might like the Cowboys, but they draft well and they're willing to put as much talent around their quarterback to make him succeed as possible, and Howie Roseman isn't willing to do that.
Yeah, no, I'm worried about the Dallas Cowboys offense. I still take the Eagles defense over the Cowboys defense, but Cowboys offense is dominant, or it could be dominant.
But let's think about it. You have Darius Slay on one side, fine, and hopefully he works out, right? Like, yep. Hopefully that works. But what do you have on the other side?
I mean, it's a good question. It's a competition between couple guys.
Between a short Avonte Maddox and Sidney Jones, who shouldn't be on this team.
Yeah, and Craven LeBlanc.
So great. We're going to get torched. They're going to pick that one side and just torch us the whole game. Like, and it's just, I'm worried. Like, it's Howie Roseman thought that he's so smart and that we should just do this, but he didn't think about all the holes that Howie Roseman has created by bad drafting over the years.
All right, I hear you, Mike, and I appreciate. Oh, I should have given him a question. Damn it, Mike, just being upset about everything just made me forget. But he's not wrong. He's not wrong with anything he said. I mean, there's some stuff I disagree with, but yeah, I mean, I don't like the draft. I did not like the draft. Rounds 1 through 3. Davion Taylor's an interesting prospect who is a project. People were so, when he got drafted, I love this. Because, you know, ESPN or ABC or NFL Network, no matter what channel you're watching the draft on, they post the highlight reel. And, oh, look at Davion Taylor's speed. Okay. But that's about all he's got. I mean, he's like too small to be a linebacker. He's too big to be a safety. And the high school thing, it was for religious reasons that he couldn't play on Fridays in high school. So that's why he only played a game and a half. He still practiced with the team. He practiced Monday through Thursday, so he practiced. But, you know, and he got a scholarship. Like, clearly, his abilities in high school were good enough to get a scholarship to play in Colorado, which is impressive. But I don't know. The guy, he's still a project. He still has a lot to learn about the game. You can practice all you want. In-game is where you learn, in my opinion. We'll see. I mean, the guy's athletic ability was good enough to get him drafted in the third round. And what he did in college was good enough to get drafted in the third round. We'll see what happens. I don't know. Josh, I don't know. This draft was so confusing to me.
I'll say this. I do like Rager. I just don't think he is fully NFL ready to what he's going to progress to right off the bat. He has a limited route tree. You're going to do a lot of drag routes, quick slants to get the ball in his hands, and then everything else is going to be over the top.
Yeah, you're probably right. And maybe that helps. I don't know. We'll see. Colin Berger tweets in some answers to the questions. Has he drank more or less? He says same, but has he gotten drunk yet? He said absolutely. I still not. I might today. We'll see. Showered more or less. He says same. Worked out. Same. None. He says ordered out. He said much less. That's the thing. The ordering out. I'm surprised with how many people are saying much less. It's crazy how in a normal society, or when society is normal, how much more that we're ordering out. And I get part of it is going out to actually sit down at a restaurant and eat. And maybe because that portion of the thing is gone, maybe that's why people aren't ordering out as much. Because you're not sitting down at restaurants. You're either getting it delivered to you, or you're walking to the place or driving to the place and you're picking it up. The weirdest thing was earlier this week, there was a great wing place in Manual. But they do cash only. And so I actually drove, because they were further away. So I drove there. And I had to go inside because it's cash only. So you obviously can't pay cash over the phone. We had to go in with the mask and all that kind of stuff. And maybe people just don't want to do that. Because they called on the phone. They said, hey, make sure you're wearing a mask or we can't serve you. And I wonder if that's steering people away. I don't know. But I'm surprised with how many people are saying that they've ordered out less. But maybe they're like you and me, Josh, where we've made the trips to the grocery store count where you're buying in bulk.
I was in line at Wegmans the other day and I saw somebody with just eggs. Eggs or just a gallon of milk. It's like, come on.
You're an idiot. I get that it's maybe they were just out of eggs and they go, oh man, we need some eggs. Well, while you're there, buy a lot more.
It's the bored person that lost their purpose that said, you know what?
Right.
I'll spend 2 hours at the grocery store picking up one thing.
Now, maybe, just maybe, they did buy everything else and forgot the eggs and had to go back inside.
Well, guess what? You're not eating eggs that week.
Because I did that. At my local Acme, you're allowed to buy beer. And I didn't know if you were allowed to buy the beer first, and then they put the paid sticker on, and then you walk around the cart. So I actually did the food stuff first, waited in that line, and then did the beer stuff second, and then had to wait in that line. So I brought all the food stuff to the car and went back in the store to do the beer stuff. Because clearly, my beer staying cold is a lot more important than, you know,
your milk,
my milk and chicken. I don't give a damn. As long as my beer is still cold from the time. Because the grocery store is a stressful place nowadays. So you need the beer when you get home. So I'd rather have the cold beer when I get home than I don't care. What's salmonella going to do for me? 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas, taking you until noon right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
1045, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Currently on Jimmy Kemsky's Twitter page, he's posted a lot of video of Andre Dillard. Here's the one problem. He's posting all the bad Dillard moments. He's not posting, I don't see any of the good ones. And there were good Andre Dillard moments. The other thing is, you know, it's against Robert Quinn. It's against Shaq Lawson. It's against some pretty good guy. It's against Khalil Mack. You know, these are against some pretty good DNs in the NFL. And then he posted like three when Dillard was playing right tackle. I don't take anything into account that right tackle game. Nothing. To say Andre Dillard, I can't trust him because of how he played that game. He was at right tackle. I go, all right, that's not his position. He's not a swing tackle. We know that for a fact. You can train certain guys to be swing tackles. I think they've been working on Jordan Mailata on both sides of the line. In case he actually dresses, maybe he can be a swing tackle. You know, there's other guys that you, like Halapulavati Vaitai was a swing tackle. They trained him to be one as well. Diller's a left tackle. And clearly, before the game even started at right tackle, he told you he wasn't going to do well. And then he gets benched at halftime. Now back to the, well, he needs to do it against some of the best DNs in the league. Yes, he does. But I hope, and I could be wrong, I don't know Andre Dillard. I hope that he's working his ass off this offseason and preparing to be the starting left tackle. And maybe he's a little bit stronger next year. Now, you hear reports that he may not have the best mindset. Maybe he doesn't have mental toughness. I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, to just post all the bad video, let's see also the good tape. Because I saw some good things out of Andre Dillard, a guy who got, again, thrown in there because Jason Peters had to leave early. And then even as in his starts, it's like, all right, here you go. You're a rookie. Let's go. Let's get it. And there's a lot of rookie left tackles that play well. And he did play well. Was he spectacular? No, but I thought he was pretty damn good, and I thought he deserved to keep that job even when Peters came back healthy. So we'll see what happens going into the season. 610-632-0975. By the way, Mike and King of Prussia did tweet into the show answering some of the questions. Would you have guessed that he was the guy that hasn't showered? I'm not surprised.
No, not at all.
No, he says, I haven't ordered out at all. I have worked out more. I've not gotten drunk. I shower way less. It's bad.
So he works out more but showers less.
Yeah, that's disgusting. Now, unless he says every 2 to 3 days is the shower. Maybe he only works out every 2 to 3 days and that's when he showers. But still, that's disgusting. But you know there's people out there that are like, yeah, you know, I shower once every 3 days. What? I'm not going anywhere. He's got a wife and kids for crying out loud. Come on, man. Clean up yourself. Josh and Audubon. Josh, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much. How you doing?
Good, good, good. Wanted to touch on the Eagles situation. And
yeah.
It's kind of weird to say this, but I think they have gotten worse, albeit very slightly worse. It's hard to believe that after the start they had in free agency, the Hargraves and Slay.
Yes.
But I'm with you on the Malcolm Jenkins situation, being that he is the veteran, the most reliable player, the quarterback of the defense. And I think I might have gotten past that if you were able to draft a linebacker to maybe fill that need. But we have Nate Gary and unreliable question marks.
Davion Taylor is a project and safety.
Right.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, I kind of like Will Parks, but not enough to. I mean, they got him on a 1-year deal. It's not like they signed
him
to a
veteran on a 1-year deal. That tells you how much you need to know about, you know, what he's going to give us. Now, you know, he can help, but as far as, you know, helping us out to win football games, you know, obviously Carson played the best of his football towards the end of the year last year with,
right,
you know, Greg Ward and insert here wide receivers.
Yes. Yeah.
So anything that we put there, albeit a bunch of late round draft picks and Rieger, who, you know, may or may not have dropped issues, you know, we'll see. But the defense, for the most part, you know, allowed us to come back from these games that we probably should have lost last year. Being down 17-0 to the Redskins opening day, losing 17-3 to the Giants. Like, they bent, but they didn't break. And that's my worry without a guy like Jenkins or Mike Linebacker that can, you know, hold it together when things are going wrong.
Yeah, and the people that were saying, well, no, you had to move on from Jenkins. He was getting older. He's lost a step. So is Rodney McLeod. And you brought him back on a 2-year deal. Now, McLeod's getting less money than Malcolm Jenkins, but McLeod's also come. Remember, he had the ACL injury a couple of years ago. So it's like, you know, do I really feel confident at that safety position when you got a guy who lost a step in Rodney McLeod, when, like you just mentioned, the 1-year deal for Will Parks, Jalen Mills, who's now positionless player all of a sudden? I don't see that. Like, I have some concerns there. They're better at corner just because of Darius Slay alone, but still a question mark on the other side of that field.
And now I'm okay. Like, I prefer that we still had Jenkins. Now, given the situation, and, you know, he pretty much laid it out there and, you know, played his cards face up, and
yes,
he's not coming back under this thing. However, you knowing that, you got to address that either in free agency or the draft, and you did neither. I mean, listen, again, we're talking about Will Parks, but that's not the replacement we're looking for as a quarterback this defense. So,
no, and when I say Josh, when I say Jalen Mills up in the box, like, how does that make you feel?
Awful. And you touched on it earlier, and I said that when we drafted the third round linebacker,
Davion Taylor.
His name is, right. So obviously he's a project, but they're like, not a big guy, a lot of speed. Well, that doesn't do anything when Barkley and Ezekiel Elliott are
coming
to the hole.
Exactly.
And, you know, Jenkins not there to, you know, at least trip him up or whatnot. So it's going to be interesting, but I'll take a quarantine question if you got something.
Yeah, I want to give you a good one because, see, you're an interesting man because you're the traveling croupier. So I don't know what your life is like on the cruise ship. So I wonder if it's changed now that you're home. So let me go. All right. So you're home now. Let me go online shopping for non-essentials. Have you bought more or less?
Oh, sorry. Lost you.
That's all right. Online shopping for non-essentials. Have you purchased more or less?
So I haven't purchased anything because I did go on the Amazon once, though.
Okay.
And even Amazon Prime is taking, like, up to 2 weeks. So I was like, don't really need it that bad.
Yeah, all right. I hear you, Josh. I appreciate the call, man. You know, I hope you're enjoying yourself at home. Josh, now you, Josh Rabick. That was traveling croupier Josh. Josh Rabick, have you purchased anything non-essential online yet?
Yes.
What have you purchased?
Oh, now we're getting personal. No, I did get headphones.
I went headphones.
I've been doing a little bit more gaming, like with the PlayStation 4 now. So obviously the headphones, the headset.
So I think that's got to be the biggest thing. Now, my wife has purchased stuff because we moved into the new place. So she's bought like a new throw rug. You know, nothing fun. Yeah, that kind of stuff. I wonder how many people, when this first happened, so I would walk my dog. I still walk my dog. But the first couple of weeks, I'm not kidding, I saw on one street, a long street, But one street, I think it was like six, within like 2 weeks, six different video game console boxes in the trash. So like on trash day, I saw the Xbox One or whatever. Is that the newest one? I don't know. I still play my 360. All right. The Xbox One. I saw a PS4 box. I did see a PS3 box. Somebody bought like the PS3, but they had the box was out there. Like, I saw a lot of video game consoles in the trash. And I wonder how many people were like, oh, I'm going to be sitting here, so I might as well upgrade.
Yeah, you look around and you go, what's going to keep me from going crazy? That's why people have a few drinks at night, and that's why people are doing more gaming.
Yes, my recycling bin has been almost full every single week, and I feel bad. Now, you know what? I didn't realize they did this. You know that they are, I don't know if they're doing it in your area, they're taking recycling every other week. It's not every week now. Are they doing that in your area?
I have no idea. So I put it in a room because I live on the 12th floor. So I put it in a room and then obviously they take it away.
So they're doing every other week in my area. I don't know if this is a nationwide thing. I don't care enough to look it up. But, you know, my wife's a nurse. So she likes to have a drink after work because she deserves it. I'm home at 3 o'clock. So what else am I going to do? So we put out the full recycling bin and another bin as well. And this past week they took it, but 2 weeks ago they did not take it. So 2 weeks ago, I already had a bin and a half of recycling. It was all beer cans and all kinds of other stuff. And they didn't take the trash because I didn't realize what they were doing. So now this past Thursday, because trash day is Thursday for me, we had to use a box that we actually used to move stuff to also put recycling in. My new neighbors, I'm the new neighbor. They're probably like, oh, God, these guys drink a lot, huh? 610-632-0975. We have 25 minutes of commercial-free radio coming up. I still have more quarantine questions to give. Josh, I'll give you some more coming up. Tasty Cake Dom's on the line. I'll give him some as well. Again, 610-632-0975. Talking Phillies and talking Eagles. The Phillies conversation, I'll sort of bring you back as to where we started the show with. But the Eagles conversation is whether or not they've gotten better. Have they taken a step back? Are they still status quo? I think they're status quo. I don't think they've gotten better. I don't think they've gotten worse. There are areas on the field where they've gotten worse. There are areas on the field where they've gotten better. There are areas on the field where I am being kept up at night being worried. But then there's some areas on the field where I'm like, all right, I know that I can depend on that area, like the defensive front. If Derek Barnett steps up a little bit. 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas, taking you until noon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
1101 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas. My final hour. I'm taking you until noon. Jason Martinez will then be on from 12 until 3. Got a couple open lines. 610-632-0975. I'll sort of update the Phillies topic that we started the show with in a second. But I want to let you know that 97.5 The Fanatic, this station right here, and Nerd Street Gamers have teamed up with Dover International Speedway to bring you our first ever NASCAR Heat Tournament on PlayStation. Can't play it on the N64, which is what I got. If you think you are the fastest racer in the game, head to 975thefanatic.com right now and register for one of our four qualifying heats. The top 10 fastest drivers each heat qualify for our championship race, where you have the chance to win four tickets to the August 23rd, 2020 Dry Dean 400 NASCAR Cup Series race and four hot pit passes. Experience NASCAR live in person and closer than you think at Dover International Speedway. For tickets and information, visit doverspeedway.com. That's doverspeedway.com. Our first heat kicks off soon. To get to 975thefanatic.com to find out all the details. Now, Josh, you seem like a Dover Speedway guy. Have you been to the Dover Speedway?
No, I have not, but I've actually played the NASCAR Heat game. And it's a real quick funny story. I handed it over to my cousin who was like 8 or 9 at the time, NASCAR Heat 2002.
Oh, yeah.
And I pretended like I never played it before. And he's like, I'm really good at this game. I'm like, okay, let's race. I let him stay in the lead the entire time, pit maneuver him on the last lap, win the race. And yeah, I'm that type of guy.
Did you make him cry?
No, he's actually a pretty tough kid. Okay, he's a pretty tough kid, but it was an important lesson to give him that day.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, these kids got to learn early that they can't win everything. You know, that's why today's society with the, participation trophies. It does suck. I was going to make a joke, but I can't do that. It's not right to joke about what's going on in the world. I feel bad for the kids that can't do Little League. I feel bad. I mean, the Little League World Series got canceled the other day. That sucks. I mean, these kids, especially when you're in the area where you know you have the stud kids that are going to get to Williamsport.
And you get your Gary Thorne fix for the old hockey fans.
Oh, I love Gary Thorne. Gary Thorne, there was a video that went viral the other day of Gary Thorne. He was making fun of Trevor Plouffe's name. Former Philly great Trevor Plouffe. But this was when he was with the Twins, and he was making fun of Trevor Plouffe's name. And then Trevor Plouffe actually tweeted it saying, I got to find this guy and beat him up. I love Gary Thorne. He's great. So the Phillies conversation that we started the show with was the idea that maybe 2 months from now, baseball returns, 2 months to this date, because Bob Nightingale reported in USA Today that the 3-10 team division, Major League Baseball, Universal DH, all that stuff could come back either late June or early July. And the date that he gave that they're hoping for would be July 2nd, because July 2nd is a Thursday and that is July 4th weekend. So the entire league would be playing on July 4th. And how perfect is that? For this country to get somewhat of normalcy back, this country that loves sports, not just the Philadelphia area. We love sports. But there are a lot of areas in this country that is filled with ravenous sports fans. Maybe it's specific cities, not an entire state, but you know what I'm saying. All over the place, you have sports fans. And baseball is, as Mikey Miss says, Americana. So how much better could it be, baseball returning July 4th weekend? That would be incredible. You know, 4th of July, you do the barbecue. I'm kind of pumped for this. I'm kind of sad that I haven't really been able to enjoy it yet. But my TV is actually in front of... So the way my house is designed, the backyard is actually on the second floor. Because it's Man Young, so the hills... So the backyard is actually on the second floor, and so is our living area. So I can actually go out back and grill and look through the window and watch TV. So if the Phillies are on, I could take an inning outside. Or I can just sit literally by the window, open up the window, just watch the game from outside on a lounging chair as opposed to the couch.
That just sounds like the perfect July afternoon.
Doesn't that sound perfect? Imagine the third game of the baseball season is July 4th. And I can just sit outside with a beer and look through the window and watch the TV. And it's not like the TV's far away. It's not like the TV, our distance right now, the TV would be closer. So like I can see the TV, I'll be all good. Even though I don't have HD, but that's okay. I can still see. I know how to watch in standard def still. You people are spoiled out there. But baseball could be back July 2nd. And I wanted to sort of break down the Phillies roster. I wanted to use today as a preview to the 2020 season. So that was conversation number one. The Eagles, whether or not they took a step back, we've been sort of looking at the different position groups. I remember doing a show last year before the Eagles season started. It was the On Paper show, because that's what we're all doing right now. Everything's on paper. There was not one area where I was concerned with the Eagles roster. Not one. Now, I did not think that Ronald Darby was going to be a total disappointment last year. I didn't think he was going to be the Ronald Darby the year they win the Super Bowl. But like, I thought Ronald Darby was going to be okay. He was a total disappointment last year. I didn't know that Jalen Mills was going to get hurt and miss most of the season. I didn't know that, it was on paper, right? But I wasn't worried about any position group. Now, you might say, are you crazy? Linebacker wasn't good last year either. Linebacker's not valued the same way that it used to be. So linebacker was like, all right, they're weak at linebacker, but they have Malcolm Jenkins who plays up in the box sometimes, and he's great at what he does. And the front four that they had last year, this was before Malik Jackson's injury, and this was before Derek Barnett proved to be a disappointment, the on-paper front four of Fletcher Cox, Malik Jackson, Brandon Graham, and Derek Barnett made up for the weak linebacker position, and they helped the corners. Even though the corners weren't dominant, they got help from that dominant front four that was going to cause pressure on the quarterback. So the on-paper show last year, I wasn't concerned anywhere. I liked the receivers. DeSean Jackson coming back, not knowing that he was only going to play one game. Alshon Jeffrey, not knowing that he was a total rat. Nelson Aguilar, I believe, was going to have a decent season just because of Jackson and Jeffrey and Ertz and Goddard as distractions. I thought Nelson Aguilar was going to be left open at times, and I thought he would actually catch it. Shame on me for thinking that. But I actually had to take that Nelson Aguilar would have the most receiving touchdowns out of wide receivers last year. Not including tight ends. Receivers. He actually tied Jeffrey, I'm pretty sure, for throw. I don't know if Greg Ward ended up beating him. But that was like a hot take that I had. We did like a hot take show. What was your one hot take? That was actually with Tyrone. Tyrone was in for Mike, and I was in Tyrone's seat. And we did, what's your one hot take? I said that for Aguilar. And for a while, I thought it was going to happen because Jeffrey was out, Jackson was out, but Aguilar was just such a huge disappointment. Running backs I liked. Offensive line I liked. This year, there's areas I'm concerned about. I am concerned about the safety position. I am now concerned about linebacker because Malcolm Jenkins is gone and doesn't play that up-in-the-box role. If Jalen Reagor steps up, I'm not as concerned about wide receiver. But if he doesn't, and if Jackson's hurt, we got a problem. How much better are they at running back? Are they worse at running back? It's a very, very scary thought that they could either take a step forward or step back, this Eagles team. And I think, if anything, if I'm going to lean one way, it's step back, but I still think they're status quo. I also got the quarantine questions. We'll give you some more coming up. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Tasty Cake Dom. What's up, Dom?
Hey, Andrew.
How you doing,
man?
How are you? I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm running my route, and you're with me. I love it.
Thanks, man.
I couldn't wait to talk to you today, Andrew, because you will appreciate this like I did. So I'm getting ready for work this morning at 4 o'clock, and I have SportsCenter all night on. Today is, in 1991, Nolan Ryan threw his seventh no-hitter at 46.
Unbelievable, right?
Now, they didn't show the whole game, Andrew, but they showed all 18 strikeouts.
18? Right, Andrew? Think about that. 18 strikeouts out of 27 outs at the age of 46.
But, Andrew, I remember Nolan Ryan with the Astros in my mind. It's fastball, fastball, fastball. I'm watching this guy. He baffled people with that curveball. His curveball was electric. I stopped getting ready, and I sat down on the bed and watched. He was mesmerizing people with this curveball. It was amazing to watch.
Yeah, I mean, Nolan Ryan, just, he's one of those guys, Dom. We talked about, actually, I did this a few weeks ago. It was a Saturday show, and Josh was producing. And I went through the names of guys I wish I could have seen in their prime. And I wish I could have seen Nolan Ryan in his prime. That was one of the names that I gave.
But I didn't. Now, he's with the Rangers at 46.
Yes.
And in 1991, how many Rangers games am I watching?
Yeah, of course.
So he was a different pitcher than the guy I remember with the Astros because you know, 46, he can't go heat the whole game. Yeah. That curveball was such an asset to him. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, when he's 30.
Really appreciated that spot they did.
Oh, yeah, I would. I might have to check that. I can find a way to go back and watch that. Yeah, that'd be great. Now, I mean, Nolan Ryan, again, he's just the guy that I wish I could have seen in his prime. There's a couple baseball guys. Obviously, Babe Ruth's one of those answers. But, like, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, those are guys I wish I saw. And Nolan Ryan, he's the pitcher I wish I could go back and see.
And the second thing that happened in baseball, Andrew, was today's the day that Ricky Henderson stole his 939th base.
Oh, really? We picked up the base?
Yep.
Oh, that's cool.
But, Andrew, he picks up the base. What do you remember about that?
I don't know. Oakland Athletics jersey? Third base?
He ties it and breaks it the same at bat because he steals second.
And steals third.
And he broke the record stealing third.
Yep. That was Ricky Henderson, right?
I mean, and he picks up the base. Shit, I mean, those guys, they were, you know, there's no game left. I'm jonesing for baseball so bad. I, you know.
Yeah, you know me, Dom. I'm sad. You know, like, I'm going to walk out of this building today at noon, and I'm just going to, like, breathe in the nice, warm air and go, wow, I wish I could watch a Phillies game today.
And doesn't it hit you worst on Sundays, Andrew? Like, Sunday, my day off, man, I miss...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
That 1:30 Phillies
game.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, well, Sundays for me, I also play in the Sunday league, right? So, like, for me, that's my day to actually still play my childhood game. I go out, I'm still in a wood bat league and still throwing out my arm on a weekly basis. My arm's healthier right now, but other than that, it's depressing. I mean, those are the times where I got together with my guys and then we play. You drink beers afterward. You watch the game if it's a night game or if it's a 4:30 start and you had the 10 a.m. game. We're all watching the game somewhere. Yeah, it stinks, Dom.
I appreciate that. I hope that they can do something, you know, people that say just sports, I'm finding we're running out of stuff to talk. Like, without these games, my friends and I were like, oh, how you doing? There's no games to talk about.
Yeah, sports is the thing. Like, you have your buddies that you, like, there's some guys that you can have everyday conversations with, but then you definitely have your group of sports friends. And it's like, hey, did you see that replay the other day? Not, you know what I mean? And they're like, no, I probably didn't see it. But if everybody's watching a Phillies game, you know you can talk about it with them.
Right. What we're doing now is just arguing, you know, today we were arguing, Mike did this thing where you could draft. Anyway, I said that Tim Duncan didn't get drafted until 103. And
I remember you talking about that with Anthony. Yeah, that was a... I mean, there's so many good athletes, though. That's the only thing. It's like,
Barkley got drafted like top 30, and I said, you can't take Charles Barkley.
Yeah,
over
I mean, that's also, bias towards the Philadelphia area.
Yeah, but that's the violation. God bless Charles Barkley, and he was a great player. He was never Tim Duncan on his best day ever in his life.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Duncan probably should have been up in that top 100. Now, Dom, you're a working man, so I got to ask you, let's see, I'm going to give you one of these quarantine questions. Let's see. What should I give you? All right, here's one. Have you read more or less?
I have read more.
Now, are you a reader to begin with?
I do. I really enjoy sports biographies is my thing, and I really enjoy it. But here's what I'm reading now, Andrew. Because there's no new games. My friends and I are arguing old-time sports, this versus that. So I find myself, like, Googling and reading about different players.
Of course.
Statistically and everything like that. So I'm reading that kind of stuff.
Okay, Dom, I appreciate the call, man. Reading. Josh Rabick, have you read more or less? Do you read in general before this all started?
Oh, I am not a big reader. I always use sports as an excuse of why I can't break open a book late at night. I don't have it anymore, sports around, so I just hate reading.
So
that's what I've come to.
I'm not a reader, as I'm sure you guys could guess. The books that I've read in recent memory, this is 2020, right? We're in now, right? All right, so 2017. And I'm a beach guy. Like, my parents live down the shore, so when you think of beach, you think of book. But I also like to fish. So I would rather go to the shore and, you know, walk knee deep into the water and stand there and not catch a damn thing for 4 hours than read. And maybe that's not good for my brain, but hey, you know what? It's good for my mentality because I just relax.
Do you do the same thing as I do? I'll start reading the book and I'll read a page and I keep reading the words, but I start daydreaming. I get two pages further and I'm like, oh no, what did I just read?
Oh yeah, I've done that. Did you have to read the stupid summer books for height when you were in high school?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those were the books that you weren't even allowed to pick. Like, you were forced to read them, and they were all terrible. They were never good books. Like, this is why high school needs to be smarter. You know, if I was president of high schools, like, To Kill a Mockingbird is when you think of classic books, that's one of the first things. I love the book. I actually like the book more than the movie. The movie's too slow. The movie put me to sleep. I thoroughly enjoyed To Kill a Mockingbird when I read that in college. And I read that as a, I'll pick up a book today during the summer. It was summer of college. To Kill a Mockingbird was never one of the high school books we had to read. No, we read like, there was a book called Touching Spirit Bear was a book that we had to read. It was the worst book I've ever read in my life. And it was about a guy who basically went on a trip in his head onto an island, and a bear ripped him to shreds. And he had to get back his strength and then make friends with the bear. Like, that was the stuff that we had to read for our summer projects in high school. What did I learn from that? Nothing. Anything, I just made fun of the book. I remember writing my project about that book and ripping the book in the project and probably getting a bad grade on that paper because I was supposed to talk about the book, not whether I liked it or not, but I hated it. It was stupid. But anyways, since 2017, and I say 2017 for a reason, I read the Nick Foles book after he won the Super Bowl. I read, I think it was Zach Berman's book. Zach Berman had one of the Super Bowl books. I read his. And that's it. And that's the last 3 years. The one other book I read, actually two books. I read Truman Capote's book. Mikey Miss made me read it. And I actually really enjoyed it. I forget what it's called, but it was good. The other one, I was a big Harry Potter kid growing up. So I still have them. Like, I still have the books.
But you didn't read them.
No, I read them as a kid. Okay. I read them all as a kid. But, like, I still have. I'm not going to throw them away. You know, who should throw away books? So I actually read the first one, Flying to the Honeymoon, with, you know, my wife, obviously. And so since the quarantine has begun, I told myself, all right, I'm going to try to read through the rest. Because I don't have many other books at my house. So I was like, all right, I'm going to take this time to read through the series again. It's been a month and a half. I read the first book at my honeymoon. So in the last month and a half, I was supposed to start the second book. I've read 50 pages. 50 in a month and a half. I'd rather not do anything.
Sorry, was this the Harry Potter?
This is
books?
The, yeah. I told myself I was going to reread it during the quarantine.
It's funny because it's the Harry Potter books that actually got me away from reading. So I was into them, the Sorcerer's Stone, the Chamber of Secrets, all that stuff. And then we finally get to the Goblet of Fire, which was huge, just bigger than the first three books.
Oh, the book itself was
Yeah,
big.
My grandma got me the Goblet of Fire and I was like, I'm out.
You didn't
I'm
read done it because it was too big and
I looked
too
at
long?
That. I looked that thing dead in the eyes and I said, I'm done.
Come on, man. Well, so you're.
I told my grandma I loved the book because I loved her, but no, I was not digging into that book.
So you're a short book reader only?
I am a Captain Underpants reader, yes.
I used to love those as a kid. My wife's reading a Stephen King book now that's like 700 pages. And I'm like, yeah, I can't do that. I would get bored after a while.
The but fact anyways, that some of his movies have to be two parts just tells me everything I need to know about his books.
And, you know, I'd rather watch the movie. Except for To Kill a Mockingbird. I thought the book was better than the movie. 610-632-0975. So yeah, we're doing all these quarantine questions and the Eagles and the Phillies. We've got all these topics up. And I feel bad. Like, I don't want to bash the Eagles because I feel like I hate the Hurts pick. I don't hate the team. And not the team. I don't mean like the Eagles themselves. Like the roster, I don't hate. Obviously, I love Carson Wentz. I really do like Miles Sanders. And I think Boston Scott's a good player. The Clement thing, we'll see. You know, I'm not thrilled with bringing back Corey Clement. I get it because it was a short, it was a one-year deal, not a lot of money. So we'll see what Corey Clement does. But I just, you know, the best ability is availability. And he's been banged up the last 2 years. Like, big injuries, too. So running back, I don't love like I love Carson, but I feel good about Miles Sanders. I feel really good about Miles Sanders. Wide receiver. Is such a crapshoot right now. Is Jalen Reagor going to play like a first-round pick? If he doesn't play like a first-round pick, you're in trouble. But if he plays like a first-round pick and DeSean Jackson stays healthy enough to play at least 12 games, and the four games that he misses aren't weeks 13 through 17, because if he misses the end of the season, you're in trouble. But if Rager is a first round, plays like a first round pick, and DeSean Jackson stays healthy, I'm very interested to see what happens with Arthego Whiteside. Because I stand by what I said prior to the draft. I did not think that they were going to take a wide receiver in rounds two or three. And the reason why is because I don't think they want to admit on another failed draft pick. To me, Mac Hollins made the roster last year because they did not want to admit a failed fourth round draft pick. And not just any fourth round draft pick. It would have been both fourth round draft picks because Mac Hollins was drafted the same round as Danelle Pumphrey. So I don't think the Eagles wanted to admit failure with two fourth round draft picks. Now, we all know what happened with Mac Hollins. He's gone. He goes to Miami. And I don't even think he's finished on the roster in Miami.
Oh, won't see him no more.
Yeah, no, he's gone. So I'm interested to see what J.J. Arcega-Whiteside does. Because like everyone else, when he first got drafted, I was like, all right, he's Alshon Jeffrey's replacement. But then they do the stupid guaranteed contract for Jeffrey. And you go, all right, what was the point of that? Why'd you draft Arcega-Whiteside? I liked Metcalf more than Whiteside. He was the sexy name. I wanted Metcalf more than Arcega-Whiteside. They draft Whiteside. I say, okay, well, you have DeSean Jackson on the outside. You'll make it work with Arcega-Whiteside. And it didn't work. But now that you have some speed with Rager and hopefully Jackson stays healthy, I'm not saying I think Whiteside's going to have a good year. I wonder what ends up happening with Arcega-Whiteside if they try to utilize him a little bit more this year. Because there were times he wasn't on the field. He was not even getting on the field. He was not picking up routes. He was Alshon Jeffrey's backup. And then when Jeffrey goes down, they didn't even really use Whiteside. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Whiteside this year. But then you have Greg Ward. And as Josh said earlier, Greg Ward's their most dependable receiver. He's a former quarterback. So we'll see. I mean, wide receiver's going to be a crapshoot. If they pan out, then this offense could be a lot. It's not going to be dominant, but they could be pretty damn good. Because I like their quarterback and I like their running backs. And we all love their tight ends. And their line, to me, is pretty good. The wide receivers are going to be a crapshoot. Defense we'll talk about coming up. 610-632-0975. Hatcher and Ian, you guys hang tight. Couple open lines. 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Taking you until noon right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.